Well, if you have your Bibles open, it's Psalm 124. That's where we're going to go now. These selection of songs that we've been looking at, I was going to give each one of them a modern song title, and then I didn't. But if I was going to give today's a song title from the relatively modern era, it would be Imagine. Imagine by John Lennon. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine, you know, there's no hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living in perfect harmony. Well, that doesn't work out, does it? Because if there's no hell as punishment for wrongdoing, and there's no heaven as a reward and a place to go for those who have loved Jesus and done and lived His way, then it's not going to be perfect harmony. You'll just live as you like and do what you want, and there's no reason to fear anything. But imagine. But rather than this being a piece of futile sentimentalism and in a sense, naive hopefulness, Psalm 124, God's imagine, is gritty and real and practical and earthy and helpful. It asks the question, what if? Now, sometimes the question, what if, isn't helpful. You know, maybe you've asked it. I certainly have, as I've ploughed into the back of somebody else's car, and you've said, what if I had left home 2 minutes earlier? That wouldn't have happened. What if I had left home 5 minutes earlier and wasn't in such a rush? What if I had turned at the junction out and gone the other way? What if? And we can play the what if game. And sometimes the what if game is not a game. It's one that's laced with bitter regret. What if I hadn't done that? What if I hadn't said that? Sometimes it's not so much about us and what we've done. It's what's been done to us. And the what if game can emphasize our sense of being victims and victimized. What if I had grown up somewhere else? What if my parents didn't treat me like that? What if I had better opportunities in life? And that sort of imagine, and that sort of what if, is not helpful. It's a waste of time, and it's damaging for us, and fills us with regret, and deepens a sense of being a victim, rather than a victor. But Psalm 124 is a completely different kind of what if. It's sometimes healthy to think and to imagine what way things might have turned out. And hot on the heels of Psalm 123, which is a call to trust, here is Psalm 124, the outcome of trust. And you know, in Psalm 123, we saw the believer in the middle of trials and calling on God and saying, I'm going to trust you. Psalm 124 is a psalm of trust as well. But it's saying, we trusted. And look. And so there's three things that I want us to note here as we look at this psalm. As we think about imagine and a right kind of what if. First thing that I want us to see in verses 1 to 5 is marvel at what might have been. Marvel at what might have been. David starts off and he says, if the Lord had not been on our side. And then he says it again. If the Lord had not been on our side. He's saying, just suppose for a moment. I want you to imagine what would have happened. Let's play what if. There's a book on my father-in-law's shelves. It's called What Might Have Been. And it's one of these books of alternative history, or what they call speculative history. And it's a series of essays written by historians. What might have happened if the Germans had won the war? And the picture on the cover of the book is of the moon landings, but the flag that's being flown is the Nazi swastika. Anyway, what if the Germans had won the war? What if Lenin had been assassinated in, I think it was 1918, when somebody tried to assassinate him? What impact would that have had on world history? What if the Japanese had not attacked Pearl Harbor? What if, or what might have happened if the gunpowder plot in England is coming up, don't they remember it in November? What if that had been successful? How would that have changed? And whenever you read these essays, you marvel at what might have happened, how different the world would have been. I was reading that series of books about Genghis Khan, and one of his successors, Ugdai Khan, died just as his armies were making their way through Hungary and Poland, and they'd gone through Russia victorious, and they were coming into Germany. They were just about to take over Western Europe whenever Ugdai Khan died, and they all returned home in 1242. How different life would have been for Western Europe and for us if the great Khan hadn't have died. What if? What might have happened? And here's David who's saying this, and David has great cause to ask these sort of questions in his life. As a shepherd boy, he's now king of Israel. And he's led Israel on great successful campaigns and seen the little tiny nation of Israel established as in a reasonably important world power and enlarged its borders. But when he was a little shepherd boy, he had been looking after the sheep, and he had the lions and the bears had attacked the sheep, and he had fought them off. What if he had been mauled to death? What if he had been mauled and left, you know, badly injured and you know, unable then to fight and unable then to lead a nation? What if Goliath, the 9-foot-tall freak of a giant, as they call him, but 9-foot-tall, not outside the realms of you know, even height today, but this sort of genetic freak of a man who was representing the Philistines, what if Goliath had defeated him? And then Israel would have been servants and slaves to the Philistines for generations. What if Saul, the king of Israel who was trying to hunt David down, had been successful? What if the Philistines, when they attacked in 2 Samuel chapter 5, just as David is being crowned king, had their incursion, which nearly got to Jerusalem, had come the whole way and captured David? What if, what if, what if? And as David looks back over his life, he marvels at what might have been. And there's, I'm going to say, at least three different aspects to this that we should do. If you're a Christian, you should do this. And let me say, if you're not yet a Christian, I think it's important you do this as well, because you'll start to recognize that perhaps you do owe God a little bit more time and thought. First thing is, remember the difficulties you faced. Remember the difficulties you faced as you want to marvel at what might have been. David's doing that. And he's calling us to do the same, not to hide from it. And we see that the life of the believer isn't plain sailing. It's not always easy. And anybody's journey through life isn't plain sailing. There's been difficulties. But particularly here, here's a believer facing difficulties. Look at the words that he uses. When men attacked us, their anger flared against us, swallowed us alive. A flood would have engulfed us. The torrent swept over us. Raging waters swept us away. And then it goes on to speak about being trapped in a snare. This is heavy stuff. This isn't, you know, with all due respect to those who aren't here because of the cold and the flu, this isn't having a cold and a flu. This is major, crushing impact in your life. David says, remember the difficulties. He pictures it. One of the images is of a monster devouring. We would have been swallowed alive. It's as if there's some great mythical beast that was about to swallow him up. He says, that's what it feels like. Or flash floods, we would have been swept away. The land of Israel, they have a lot of little dry riverbeds, and whenever the dry season comes, they're all dried up, and the little wadis and the gullies are dried up. But then rain can fall in the mountains, and flash floods as all the little channels run together, and flash floods come and sweep people away. And David says, stuff comes on you unexpectedly, unannounced. Catastrophe or hostility comes away. If you've had any length of life and any experience in life, perhaps that's what you found. David says, you know, if you're a Christian, you can look back at that, you can remember that. You don't need to blank it out. You don't need to think, oh, I'm not going back to think about that. Remember it, he says. Remember the times when you found yourself plunged into the heavy waters of depression. Remember whenever the great gaping mouth of illness or diagnosis from the doctor or cancer or uncertainty seemed to be opening up before you like a yawning chasm. Remember it. Remember it. Remember the times whenever things even seem to sneak up on you and you find yourself caught suddenly in a trap and you realize, oh, I should have seen this. He says, think about it. Remember it. See, if you're a Christian, there's something that's going to mean that this isn't just a pity party, but actually a praise party. And see, one writer says, we live in the dragon's mouth and at the flood's edge. This isn't unusual for believers. It's not unusual for anybody in this world to go through difficulties. But the person who has a relationship with God has reason to look back. And they're going to marvel. And that's the second step we see then in marveling at what might have been. Marvel at the destruction that you missed. David says, if the Lord had not been on our side. And in the Hebrew, there's a little word at the start of each of the next three clauses, then. Some Bible versions translate it, some leave it out, but the gist is still the same. Then we would have been swallowed up. Then we would have been engulfed. Then we would have been swept away. Said, we would have been obliterated by all that was going on. But we weren't. And he marvels. He marvels at the destruction that he missed. He marvels, perhaps in his mind, as he thinks of Goliath, the experienced soldier. And there's David, the young fellow, maybe in his teens, not even dressed in armor, facing this guy at least 3 feet taller than him, clothed in heavy armor, an experienced soldier, been in many battles. Here's this little kid, young teenager, coming along with a few stones and a little slip of leather, whirring it round. He says, I could have been plastered all over the countryside in that moment. But I wasn't. I wasn't. And he wants us to wonder. And God's people had cause to wonder. Gideon, 300 men against the mighty Midianite army. He triumphed. Esther, going in to see a psychopathic megalomaniac. And she lives. Daniel, thrown into a den of lions. Not eaten. Marvel at the destruction that you missed, David is saying. And you need to do that too. Whether you're a Christian or not, I'm sure you can marvel at the destruction that you missed. I don't know what it is with me. I've been in several car accidents, both as a driver, a passenger, and a pedestrian. And then there's been several other near misses when I haven't been hit, but it nearly... You think, wow! Think of the near misses and the... I'm doing well to be here. That's just me. What about you? What about the things that you missed? And it doesn't have to be accidents. You think of some of you have come through depression. You think, oh, I could still be in that. Some of you have come through addiction. I could still be mired in that, ruining my life, destroying me, holding me fast. Some of you have come through illness. And you think, wow, think of what could have been. Some of you have seen others that you know take their own lives. You've seen other people killed in accidents, at work or at sea. You think, what am I still here for? Marvel at the destruction that you missed. And then at another level, any one of us this morning could have been in hell. Whether we're Christians or not, you know, in a sense, if you're not yet a Christian, you woke up this morning. That didn't have to happen. If you hadn't woken up, where would you have been? You would have been in hell. If you are a Christian this morning, yes, if you hadn't woken up, you'd have been in heaven, but at some point in your life, God worked to bring you to Christ, had that not have happened, you'd be facing destruction in hell. Marvel at the destruction that you've missed. And then marvel then at the action that God took for that to happen. At some levels, it's half a step. Remember going to cross through a pedestrian crossing once, and the light was green for me and red for the car. And I'm about to step out, and a car flew through in front of me. Half a step. A pause on the footpath to say something to somebody was all it took. You marvel that in that moment, changes everything. A little thing that God allowed, that pause. And you can think for yourselves, some ways in my own life, I think if I had, a few years ago when I was called to be the pastor of a church in the north, if I had accepted that, I would have had a different surgeon for my eyesight instead of having one of the best men in Europe. I think, thank you, Lord, for what was and what might have been. Some of you can no doubt point to similar incidents of how God has provided in daily life that you marvel that things would have been so much worse. But then move it up a level to the level of those of you who have become Christians and marvel at, for some of you, if you've been born in a different family, would you be here this morning? Some of you, perhaps, it was a conversation that you had with someone or somebody that God brought into your life. You think, well, what would have happened if that hadn't have happened? But take it back even further. What if Patrick, whenever Patrick, St. Patrick that is, whenever he was kidnapped and brought to Ireland and worked as a slave here and then escaped and went back to, whether it was Wales or Scotland, wherever it was, what if he had said, I'm not going back there? The history of Ireland would be different. Christianity wouldn't have come as soon as it did. And who knows whether we would be following Christ today. What if Ogdai Khan hadn't died in 1242? Likely we could be Muslims. Because the Muslim religion was spreading amongst the Mongolian Empire. Or come more recently, what if I had gone to Larne or Portrush instead of coming to Donegal? And yet God has worked. What if what if the core families that were here at the very start, Robert and Colin and Caroline, just God's bringing all different things together that has caused this little fellowship even to come into existence. What if? You think, wow, look at what God has done so that we have been able to find out about Jesus. I marvel at my own family. And if you're a Christian this morning, David wants you to marvel at what has happened in your life, what you've missed, not just at the mini-salvation level of incidents and accidents and illness in life, but at the macro-salvation level of salvation itself, and what has happened to bring you to here. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian and you've been feeling that life has dealt you a bad hand, and that the cards have been all wrong, and it's not been fair, your opportunity this morning is to say, well, I'm here. I'm here. And the Lord could be on my side, and that will change everything. Let me urge you to take time this morning to say, well, I'm here, and God has brought me here. And that's good. The life that I've been dealt may have been difficult, but I haven't been swallowed up. I haven't been swept away yet. I'm in there by the skin of my teeth. He's kept me this far, and now I want Him on my side, and reach out and take hold of Him and ask Him to be not a maid that cleans up the mess, but a Saviour and a Rescuer who forgives you and changes you. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you don't feel victimized. You're just, you're not yet trusting in Christ. And I want you to ask the same question. Why has God allowed your path in life to have you here in this fellowship or connected with this fellowship over weeks or months or years or just even today and not put your trust in Christ yet? Are you going to allow this intersection of your life with the gospel to go to waste? The reality is that the pit of hell lies open, like a dragon waiting to devour and you're not so holy that you'll miss it. There's a flood of wrath at your guilt that is held back by the dam of God's patience. And when it is lifted, God says, enough. You'll be swept away and swallowed up. And in hell, you will marvel at what might have been. What could have been. What you missed. And you'll remember today and the faces that are here. And you'll remember the sermon with piercing clarity. And you'll kick yourself for what might have been. What might have been. A Christian can look at their lives and at the disasters and think, what might have been? And they're excited and filled, as we'll see in a moment, with praise. And that's what I want for everyone here, that they'll be able to look at their lives and see the thing, the disasters that were missed and the hell that was missed, and be delighted with what God has done. That brings us, secondly, we've seen to marvel at what might have been. Secondly, praise for what has been. Praise for what has been. Praise be to the Lord, verse 6. David says, go on, praise Him. Think about what might have been. And then praise Him for what has been. Praise Him for His rescue. The Lord has been on our side. It wasn't me. It was the Lord. I'm not just lucky. You're not lucky. It's just not happened to work out that way. God has been on your side. He has been working for you and guarding you. It's not 50% you and 50% Him. He's been guarding you and been looking out for you. And we're to praise Him. Not just to say, well, thanks, and move on. But the believer, the Christian, is to look back and to marvel at the destruction that they've missed and to be filled with thankfulness so that the good news never becomes old news. So that we're filled with thankfulness for what Jesus has done for us. One writer says, a heart running over with thankful surprise. It's a key thing. Thankful surprise. And that comes from thinking about what we missed. Heart running over with thankful surprise is its own security. It helps us, as we thought with the children, to have to hold up the shield of faith and to trust. We'll see that in a moment. Praise Him for His rescue. Praise Him for His sovereignty. Look at verse 6. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. Who has not let us. You could also translate that more actively. Who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. The word can be translated both ways. I have a preference for the more active. Here's a picture of God refusing to surrender you to Satan. Or refusing to surrender you to difficulty and disaster that would destroy you. He says, no, I will not let that happen to you. He has not given you over. One writer says, in any and every situation, the decision on how we will fare rests not with our adversaries, however sharp their teeth may be, but with our God. If you're a Christian, praise Him for His sovereignty. He hasn't given you over to be swallowed up. He hasn't given you over. He has refused to surrender you to your enemy. And thank God for His sovereignty. He has only allowed into your life what He has defanged and drained its poison, so that although Satan and sin would work it for evil, and other people would perhaps want it to bring evil into our lives, God says, I've defanged it. And it may hurt, but it will only bring good. I will use it and I will work it for good in your life. Praise Him for His sovereignty. Praise Him for His surprising methods. Praise Him for His rescue, His sovereignty, and even His surprising methods. We thought a moment ago of the little things on which our lives have turned. Praise Him for it. And praise Him for the surprising way He goes about it. Verse 7. There's this picture of being in a trap. We've escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The fowler is just someone who tries to catch birds. The fowler's snare. We escaped. We were in it. It closed on us, but something didn't function right. It didn't stay shut. Or perhaps the net had a hole in it. And you know, we got out and we escaped. The The trap was sprung. But it didn't function. It malfunctioned. Who'd have thought? We were free. Free! Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego might have said, thrown into the fire. Who'd have thought it wouldn't burn? Daniel, the den of lions. Who'd have thought they wouldn't eat him? Corrie ten Boom in a concentration camp in Germany in World War II for helping Jewish people escape the Nazis. Accidentally released. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? In Joss, where Pamela is working, who's going to come and speak to us on Wednesday evening. We were sitting with friends of hers a few years ago in the afternoon, and they got a phone call from Joss. They were sitting in our house, and they said that Muslim extremists had attacked their friends of theirs. And they'd come to the front door, and they'd escaped out over the wall at the back into a neighbouring compound, lived in by another Muslim family who sheltered them, who hid them from the extremists, even though they knew that these people were Christian missionaries. Who'd have thought? God's surprising methods and his timings. Sometimes you're in the thick of the difficulty, you're in the snare, and then it goes. Who'd have thought? You can see different applications. Free, some of you struggling with addiction. Set free. Free from it. Wow. God's rescue and God's freedom. All of us, living in this world and thinking that this world is a great place. Not realizing it's like a trap, baited with all sorts of things to cause us to think that this life is all there is, and this world's pleasures are richer and better than anything that could ever be. And we're in this trap. And then the trap was broke, and we escaped. And we can fly away. And we can see that there's a better life to be had. And that the baubles and the trinkets of this life are just empty nothings that won't last. Free. Free as a bird. From Satan and sin and death and hell, the pit of hell would have closed on us. But we escaped like a bird, free. Are you praising God for his glorious rescue? Are you thankful for what he's done if you're a Christian? You should be. And finally, all of that will combine to help you do something really practical. Trust. Trust him for what will be. Verse 8. Trust him for what will be. The last verse of the psalm is one that is bouncing with confidence. A vigorous confidence. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Too often we go about what if the wrong way. We do what if with the future. And then we're uncertain in the present. The psalm says, do what if with the past. And then you'll have certainty in the present for the future. We do what if with the future? With the future, what if this happens tomorrow? Oh, what if that happens? Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, I don't know that I can cope. Sam says, no. Do what if with the past. Say, well, this could have been so much worse, but God was on my side. Thank you, God, for being on my side. Whoa. Well, whatever tomorrow brings, God will be on my side. You see how it brings certainty? And there's reasons for that. His care, we see, is personal. It's personal. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord. Imagine a woman up to and past her ears in debt, and the debt collectors are coming for her. But they arrive on a particular day. It's the day of her wedding. And she's marrying someone, and this man is loaded. He's the Bill Gates or the Warren Buffett of her world. He is the richest in her vicinity. And she's marrying, the debt collectors arrive and they say, are you so-and-so? She says, yes. Well, you owe X amount. And she says, my help is in the name of this man here. My security is found in this name because he's my husband now. And all that he has is mine and all that I have is his. And I'm joined by a covenant. That's what marriage is. It's a promise. A promised covenant. An unbreakable union. And I'm joined And He will care for me. You see, whenever God says, it talks about the name of the Lord here, it's talking about a covenant name, a promise-keeping name, of which marriage is a picture. An unbreakable union, where He says, you're mine, and I will love you, and I will never leave you or forsake you. You're mine, and all that I have is yours. That's why you can trust me. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That's actually why Christians, in a sense, are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's part of the picture and the imagery of how close and personal His care is. And then it's powerful. He's the maker of heaven and earth. What lies ahead of you this week? You can expect the powerful help of the maker of heaven and earth. And then, as we look at it, this Old Testament song, from the perspective of this side of Calvary, we know a little bit more. And we see that this care is not just personal and powerful. It's purchased. It's got a price to it. The price that was paid by Jesus at the cross. Imagine these songs being sung by Jesus with His disciples on the way up to Jerusalem that last time, as they would have been done on the ascent up the hill. And there He is, the maker of heaven and earth. He's at the side of His disciples. They're singing about the maker of heaven and earth being on our side. And if He hadn't been on our side, we'd have been swept away. We would have been swallowed up. But the maker of heaven and earth Himself is about to step into the jaws of death. He's about to be flooded by sin. He's about to have the torrents of judgment sweep over His head. And He's going to be at their side. Not just on their side, but at their side, as it were, holding them up so that they don't get swept away. It's going to cost Him His life. Came across a story in the newspaper a couple of years ago about, I think it was an American man, Thomas Vanderwood. He had a son, Joseph, who was 20, and Down syndrome. And they had been working at a septic tank, and Joseph fell in. He's fallen in after him. And for 20 minutes he held his son up above his head, holding him above his head until rescue came. And they were able to get the son out, but the father, no, it was too late for him. He had been holding his son up. And he had been swept away, as it were, by the torrent of the effluent and the excrement. He had been swept away with it so that he could hold up his son for safety. And our Saviour, if you're a Christian, your Saviour sings to you today, says, if I had not been on your side, you would have been swept away. But I was swept away. I have set you free, and I am still on your side today. Now when you hear Him say that to you, and you know what He did so that you could be free, do you feel you could trust Him with tomorrow? Do you feel you could trust Him with the storms that are coming and the waves that are coming your way? And you will know that He will never let you be swept away. If you're a Christian, you're worried about this week, you're worried about family or friends or others, remember that the Maker of heaven and earth is at your side. If you're not sure whether you're a Christian or not, how do you feel when you think, and you hear me talk about Christ being swept away and overwhelmed with the flood of sin and judgment? Do you think, wow, that was a nice sacrifice? Or do you feel not just amazement but thankfulness? And you think, oh, I'm glad He did that for me. If gladness and thankfulness is your reaction, then you've likely put your trust in Him. If you just think, wow, that's nice, or maybe you're indifferent to it, then I would suggest that it hasn't happened for you. You need to go to Him and ask Him to rescue you, to be on your side, to forgive you, and to lift you out of the flood of God's judgment, and to be your Saviour. So if you're not sure, are you thankful? If you're not thankful, then you need to perhaps close with Christ and ask Him to be your rescuer. If you're just not a Christian and you know it, let me ask you, are you ready for the future? Have you confidence that is anchored in something as secure as the maker of heaven and earth. Something that is more powerful than any created being, that nothing could take you away. What are you anchored to? And will it stand the test? Only Christ will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the maker of heaven and earth who came into this life, into this world. Thank you that he came in so that he could lift us out of the torrent of sin and judgment, that he could set us free from the trap of Satan, sin and death, and that we could be free as a bird. Thank you for him. Father, we pray that you would help us to trust him on Monday morning with whatever difficulties arise this week. Lord, I pray that you would give us that sense of confidence in him. I pray for your people here who are struggling. Let them see the maker of heaven and earth at their side. Lord, I pray for those who perhaps yet haven't put their trust in Jesus, that you would cause them to see that life is so severe and hell is so awful that they do not want to face any of that without the maker of heaven and earth at their side or taking their place. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.